You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout. A Buffalo football podcast hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUp.com.
The Bills make me wanna.
What is up, everybody? Thank you for your patience. Man, has it been 72 hours for your good friend Matt Parrino? I have been through the ringer, if you will. Oh, Ryan Talbot, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little congested over here, but saw some of those photos that Caitlin posted. You looked worse for wear for sure.
Dude, my son had it the worst, dude. Like, I've never seen a stomach bug like he had. I mean, it was just both ends, nonstop, like 12 hours. Like, he's still like super weak all these days later. It was just so brutal. The end of Disney World. That's right. What hit us. And we got to the airport. You know, he just got through it. We're about to get on a flight. Southwest cancels our flight. We have to get a rental car. And drive from Orlando to Buffalo. And as we're driving, my daughter starts puking. And then as we get to PA, I start puking. So it's just like, can we just get back to Buffalo? Free agency is starting on Monday. And yesterday, Ryan, I'm not kidding. I was dead on the couch all day. I did a couple tweets. I think I did an insider text. And then I just like out on the couch. And I think Caitlin took a couple pictures of it.
Yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better. Hopefully Lucas is you know, the strength comes back soon. I'm glad all the kids are hopefully on the mend here soon.
Yes, it was a lovely week in Florida, but ready to talk Bills in a free agency period, Ryan, that has been a little bit slow to start for the Bills, or maybe not so much. I mean, maybe this was what everybody should have expected going into this free agency period. I think Brandon Bean learned a valuable lesson last year. And I don't even know if it was necessarily that he learned a lesson or maybe just took note of the fact that arguably his most impactful signing, and the argument can be made for Connor McGovern and the way that this offensive line performed. They handpicked him, made him a priority early in free agency last year. He came in, he was really good for them.
Right.
But the most important impactful signing you could argue was Leonard Floyd. And that didn't happen until June. There's good players that you can get in all the waves of free agency. You just have to be strategic. You have to know what you want and you have to bring in the right players. I'm not surprised at the fact that the Bills have gone into the first early part of the tampering period and just brought their own guys back. And AJ Epenesa and Daquan Jones, where we're going to start, they let them go to the market, talk to some teams, see what the market was. They brought an offer and you know, it was competitive enough that made both of those guys want to come back to the table. And I want to start with Epenesa because I think this was a brilliant Brandon Bean move for a couple of reasons. And I know like there's this portion of the fan base that has been underwhelmed with AJ Epenesa. And I think that's fair. Even coming off of back-to-back seasons where he had 6.5 sacks, if you've been underwhelmed with his performance, his production, fine. But you're getting an edge rusher, which is a premier position, at $6 million per season over the next 2 years, which are both, Ryan, like we just talked to AJ Epenesa, they're contract years. He wants to get back to the table in 2 years and renegotiate a new deal that's going to be the one that sets him up over the course of his life with, you know, generational wealth and all that kind of stuff. So you have a guy that's stepping into a bigger role. Leonard Floyd's gone. He played 53% of the snaps last year. Epenesa only 36%. So you're going to see an uptick in that. He played through a rib injury last year. So maybe if he doesn't suffer that injury, maybe he gets to 10 sacks. I think this is a value signing for a guy that has been incrementally improving in your system. And the Bills are in a really good spot now on their defensive line, adding both of these guys back. And I think Epenesa became a priority with Floyd leaving.
He became a priority with Floyd leaving, but I really do like that contract more so than what Floyd signed with the 49ers. And that's no knock on Floyd, but, you know, if you're going to critique AJ Epenesa for not showing up late in the season, you could say the same exact thing for Leonard Floyd, who from about, you know, late November on was not making an impact for this team. In the case of Epenesa, he had a rib injury. I believe it dealt with the rib cartilage, very painful injury. Missed two games after that Chiefs game in which he had an interception, a big interception that played a pivotal role in that 20-17 win. And then he was never quite the same, but that's not an easy injury to play through. And I get it. Players play banged up all the time, but your breathing is affected. It impacts in terms of when you're trying to get by the old lineman, the way that they're punching back can hurt you again. And It's a bigger injury than I think a lot of people realize. And I thought Epenesa, like you said, back-to-back seasons, 6.5 sacks, really good at getting his hands on the football if he doesn't get after the quarterback. Knowing when to get his hands up, when to bat passes, always seems to be in a good spot in that regard too. And I feel like every year he's gotten better. So you're looking at the upside, you're looking at the age, versus Leonard Floyd, who was outstanding in his 1 year in Buffalo, 10.5 sacks. But same thing, disappeared down the stretch, no showed in those meaningful games in the playoffs.
You know, we chatted with AJ Epenesa a couple hours ago in his post-signing press conference. And, you know, he wasn't shy about the fact that, as John Robert points out over on Facebook, he wants to earn a starting role. That's his goal for this season. And I think him pushing Von Miller for that starting role is really good. You now have a motivated Epenesa and Von Miller coming in to try to earn that starting spot opposite Greg Rousseau. And maybe Von, kind of the next stage of his career, is more of a pass rush specialist. You could bring him in as that third rusher. I think the Bills have a bunch of areas that they can go in with that fourth edge rusher spot. They have Kingsley Jonathan under contract. I think that you could probably find a player in the draft, one or two at the edge rusher position. I think they need to draft a defensive tackle as well. But the free agency pool, like, we probably haven't even seen all the players that are going to end up being on the market. You saw the Miami Dolphins sign Shaq Barrett, 1 year, $9 million, I believe, is what he ended up getting. And that is basically a contingency plan if Bradley Chubb and or Jalen Phillips aren't able to get back. I think that kind of player, maybe at not that high of a price tag, there's going to be those kind of guys out there for that fourth and fifth role.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at a guy like Carl Lawson, who a few years ago signed a big deal with the Jets and dealt with some injuries. He's a player that could be available post-draft that the Bills could kind of go back to the well on. And I'm not saying he specifically will, but just as an example, there's going to be guys out there. There's going to be guys here in the next few weeks too, whose price tags go down, some players that get released elsewhere. I could see the Bills pursuing players that have already been released by other teams. Emmanuel Ogba, for instance, comes to mind. So they're going to look for that mix. And you know, we were talking pre-show. I don't think they're done at defensive tackle either. They were reportedly in on Malcolm Roach, who just signed a 2-year deal with the Denver Broncos. So maybe the Bills are still looking there too. I think they do want to improve their D-line. They are thin in numbers, especially at defensive tackle. So knowing that you can address some of those needs in the draft with all of your draft picks that you have, you still want to bulk up a little bit up front. And the trenches have always been an area where Brandon Bean has gone out and addressed it in free agency and then tried to back it up a little bit in the draft as well.
Let's get into Daquan Jones. That decision to bring him back, he gets a 2-year, $16.5 million contract. That is $10.5 million of that is guaranteed. Basically, kind of just a minor update on the last deal, which I think was 2 for $14. So in that same ballpark. I mean, this is a guy that, listen, he's been injured. Both of the last two seasons had the calf injury in the playoff game that I thought was really costly for the Bills. Had the pec injury that cost him most of last season. But when he's been healthy, he's been about as good of a defensive tackle as there's been in the NFL. I mean, he's in that top tier as a guy that creates pressure, that can play that one tech role, create, you know, mismatches, open things up for other players in the defensive line, and produce himself. I think that's been really huge. And I think that his play has really vaulted the level of play for Ed Oliver, helped him get his contract. Before he got to Buffalo, Daquan Jones started every game for, I think it was 5 consecutive seasons. Mm-hmm. So it's been a little bit of a rough patch, but I'm not ruling out the fact that over the next 2 years, he can find a way to stay healthy. And that's something that the Bills have talked about putting a priority and emphasis on this offseason. Okay, what went into all the injuries this year? You think about Trey White. You think about Matt Milano. You think about Daquan Jones. How do we maybe mitigate some of those issues next year to not lose as many guys throughout the season?
Yeah, and listen, Daquan Jones, when he has been healthy, has been a game record, been a force for this team. You look at the Bills early on in the season before that pec injury and the way that the D-line was playing, the statement that they made in that Miami Dolphins game before the Jacksonville loss in which he went down. He is someone that can absolutely still get after the quarterback, is great in terms of helping the Bills in run defense, an area that had been a weakness of theirs for a few years in the Sean McDermott era, at times giving up big amounts of yardage. He's older. There's no denying that, but I thought that it was a good, fair price for a defensive tackle that knows your system, that can come in and help some younger players, because I'm sure they're going to try to address defensive tackle in the draft at some point as well. He would be a great kind of leader from that perspective too. Oh. But Matt, here as we are, there is some breaking news. The Bills have signed a linebacker, Nicholas Morrow. Give me 1 second.
There is some breaking news here. Are you breaking up on me here, Talbot, from your feed in Olean?
No, my dog's barking and I'm going to get my daughter down here to take care of him.
There you go. All right. So the Bills sign Nicholas Morrow, who most recently played for the Philadelphia Eagles. He played in 15 games, started 12 of them. The early reply had 3 sacks. This is a depth signing for the Bills. Probably takes over that Tyrell Dotson role. I'd be interested to see the contract numbers. I mean, you have your starters in place. You have your linebacker of the future in Dorian Williams at potentially both spots, but more so at that outside will spot. So this is a guy that comes in, I'm sure, grades out pretty highly for the Bills on special teams. And I think Tyrell Dotson, Ryan, probably has priced himself out of what Buffalo can do. I'm sure that they would have liked to have brought him back, but if he got to the market and they checked things out and he was just a little bit more expensive than they thought, I'll be interested to see what the numbers are on this Morrow deal.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's a really good signing. Linebacker was not necessarily on my radar in terms of what I thought the Bills were going to do first in terms of an external player that the Bills are going to be bringing in here. But he does make sense in terms of the Bills need to build up some depth there as well. You mentioned the season Tyrell Dotson had, a renaissance year for this player that at one point in training camp, we weren't sure what his role is going to be. And then he comes out in PFF darling by the end of the year. And he looked it on the field. This wasn't just one of those things where you're scratching your head saying, how did he end up getting the grade that he did? He was great for the Bills, but you need to build up that depth. And you know this, especially from this past year, how much injuries can affect this team at the linebacker position after they lose Matt Milano, after they went through some injuries with Terrell Bernard. So it's good for the Bills to bring in a depth piece like this, and he's a good player. He's a solid player. This is we'll look at the terms, but I don't expect this to be anything, a gaudy contract or anything that jumps off the page or makes you scratch your head.
Yeah, he was a vet minimum last year. I wouldn't be surprised if it's just like a little bit north of that. Maybe gets himself like a 1 year, $2 million deal or something in that area. And I think for the kind of production that he had last year in Philadelphia, I think that's pretty good. I mean, a reliable player. You're probably only going to be asking him to play in a pinch. Maybe if Milano's not ready to go to start the season, we'll have to do a little bit of a deep dive. But from everything I can see here right off the jump, he's an outside linebacker, probably has some special teams ability. I got to bring that up here. Snap counts. Yeah, so he played mostly special teams with the Raiders over the course of his first four seasons. Played not as much with Chicago in 22 and last year with Philly. He only played 30% of the special team snaps, but I'm sure they'll probably try to find a role there for him.
Yeah, and that's just it. If you can play in all three, you know, if you can play on special teams and defense, excuse me, that is something that the Bills will definitely interest them. It's something that they covet. It's kind of like what they've had over the past few years with the Tyler Matakevich as well. So those types of players, Tyrell Dodson, it makes a lot of sense for the Bills to pursue Moreau.
This will be Moreau's seventh NFL season. He is 28 years old. Somebody was asking about that in the comments. So intriguing signing. We'll see what the number ends up being. And I mean, we'll put it side by side by whatever Dodson ends up getting. And I think, to me, the fact that Dodson hasn't signed yet, there's probably a market for him. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a little bit more than whatever the Bills gave tomorrow. Okay. Before we continue, I wanted to get back to one more point on Daquan Jones, but now you threw me off a loop here, Ryan. Just throwing breaking news into the chat here has really thrown me off. Where do you want to go next, buddy?
Well, that's just, I, you know, I do want to talk about some players that are still out there potentially, but we should probably still talk about some of the other moves that the Bills have made. There's a comment in here, and I would like your, you know, your thoughts on it. Was Cam Lewis signed for safety? Was he signed for just more depth? Was he signed to be that nickel behind Taron Johnson? What are your thoughts on this?
Horns up, baby. UB zone, Cam Lewis back in the mix. I think right now he's a starter, right? Like, you have to kind of position him in that role right now. But listen, there's a lot of offseason left. I'm not taking them out of the free agent market at safety. I mean, there's a couple interesting ones. And in the top of the, you know, the thing about like a Jeffrey Simmons getting thrown in the mix here really changes the dynamic of the market for safety. And I think brings down some of the numbers that some of these other players are going to get. Guys like Cameron Curl out of Washington, who I thought might be priced out of a situation like Buffalo. Now all of a sudden, maybe conversations are there to be had. I think Jeremy Chinn continues to be the most intriguing. And I think now that you have Lewis and Rapp in place, and the Taylor Rapp deal came down after we finished our last podcast, you have two guys that in a pinch, you know, you could go into the season, roll the balls out, and go with those two guys in those positions. But I always think Lewis fits in better to me as that dime safety. What Rapp played last year, put Rapp in a starting role and then either have a free agent penciled in or whoever you're able to end up drafting. And it'll come down to who the Bills like. To me, Cameron Kitchens out of Miami is the perfect fit to draft, develop, and maybe play from the jump. There's also Javon Bullard out of Georgia, who I thought was really impressive at the combine. I mean, out of all the interviews that I did, to me, he gave me Trent McDuffie vibes with, you know, the way that he talked about playing football, like the positionless nature that he feels like he'll bring to an NFL defense. I think the Bills will like that. So if those two guys are potentially in play in the second round, and now you have all this draft capital that you can maybe get aggressive. So say maybe you like both of those guys, right? And you're sitting there at pick 60, whatever the Bills have. What's the second round pick? 59, 60? What is it?
Oh, off the top of my head, I want to say it's 58, but I'm probably
you just did this article, Ryan.
I just did. I put it up and everything, but it probably is like 60 in that range. Yeah.
I'm going to bring it up because you know what? I don't like these kind of things like hanging over us as we're having a conversation. I like it to be pick 60. I knew I should have just gone with it. I was right on the money the whole time. All right, so pick 60. If you're sitting there and you're like, all right, I really like both of these guys, and at 49, Bullard goes off the board. He's the first safety. Let's just do that hypothetical situation. Mm-hmm. Now you have so much draft capital that you could say, boom, I'm jumping up to 50. I'm not letting a run on safety start. I'm going to go up. I'm going to get Kitchens at 50, and I have the draft capital to move up 10 spots in the second round.
I don't hate it, but I also know the needs of this team, knowing that maybe it might not even be round two that they go safety. It might be round three. There's still some very good prospects there. I look at some of the deals that have been signed in free agency, Matt, and the amount of money some of the safeties are getting have surprised me in some cases. And it makes me think that maybe teams aren't sold on the safety position in this year's draft class. Kind of like I don't think teams are sold on the running back class in this year's draft class. And all of a sudden, all these backs are getting decent money after a few years of it being the exact opposite. I could see, you're right, Kitchens makes a ton of sense for the Bills. Either of the Georgia safeties, they have experience with Jameel Adai, who is now the Bills' secondary coach, who's come in here this past offseason. He's worked with all three of them before. Great options, but I'm just not sure safety is the best use of resources. Just based on it does feel like a position where you can, I've called it the running back of the defense, where you can get some guys, I don't want to say a dime a dozen, but on the cheaper side of things.
So a lot more coming in on Morrow, if we want to dip back into those waters. Yeah. So he played middle linebacker and called the defense for the Eagles last year in his 12 starts. That's from Mike Garofolo. Sal Capaccio, our good friend from somebody in Chicago, he played a season in Chicago. Quote, let me just bring up who this is, give them their proper credit. Chris Emma, who is a radio reporter for the Odyssey station out in Chicago, covered Morrow in his season with the Bears. The quote is, great story as a small school guy, extremely intelligent, quiet leader type, versatile, slid from middle linebacker to weak side linebacker and took over the green dot midseason. So he is a guy that brings position flexibility, can play both linebacker spots, a guy that to me fits perfectly in this defense and is arguably like maybe an upgrade on Dotson. Listen, Dotson had a great season, but I don't necessarily think that that one season as a sample size was enough to break the bank for a guy who's probably going to get paid more than what Morrow ends up getting. And we'll see. Maybe this his deal ends up being more, and the Bills just view him straight up as an upgrade.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But like you said, I'm expecting Dotson to look for more money, look for a spot where he could potentially play more. Because unless there's injuries, there's not a path to playing in Buffalo with the linebackers that, you know, they obviously already have on this roster when healthy, who are on, you know, high level linebacker play in Milano and Terrell Bernard. So Dotson's just looking for that starting job. He's probably looking for a little bit more money than what the Bills were offering. And the Bills are in a tough spot financially. I know they've made a lot of moves. I know they restructured Josh Allen. I'm sure there's still a few more moves up their sleeve that they can do. It wouldn't shock me if an extension for Taron Johnson was the next thing on their list to bring in some more money for the now and to reward a great player. So there's still a lot of moving parts, but I'm guessing that at the end of the day, Nicholas Morrow is just more in their price range, a better fit for what they were looking for. And he's someone that can also help you out on special teams and earn that game day jersey.
Yeah, he's very similar to Terrell Bernard in terms of size, what he's done, like converting from a safety in college, or almost more like Milano, actually converting from safety to linebacker. And I think that they really like these guys that have the kind of versatility to do multiple things. And, you know, with guys that are on the roster right now, you know, you need that kind of versatility to just kind of like, okay, we need you to do this week, that next week, it could change. And I think this is just another guy that they can kind of place into that mold. Here's Brent Bloom with a question on Facebook and something that we can kind of try to dive into here a little bit, although it's challenging with all these moving parts. You have the Josh Allen restructure that reportedly opened up over $16 million in cap space, but a lot of new money that's kind of coming on the books with the Daquan Jones deal, which we still don't know what the first year cap hit is. I don't think those numbers have come out yet. AJ Epinesa with a really low first year cap hit. I think it was around $4 million. Do you have a sense, before I bring up SpotTrack, Ryan, of where the Bills are at against the cap right now?
I do not, because the last time I looked, it was still work to be done, and they had not calculated about three or four of the contracts into that. So I don't know the exact number, but still, like I said, a lot of work for Brandon Bean to be done. And I'm sure he has everything ready to be faxed and filed by the start of the league year here tomorrow at 4. But yeah, I don't know the exact number right now. What does it say on SpotTrack?
So Daquan Jones, Cam Lewis, and Nicholas Morrow are on their website over at SpotTrack, but their numbers aren't in yet. So whatever this is doesn't have those tabulated yet. And the other thing is the details of the Deion Dawkins extension are not in yet because his cap hit is still showing up for $16.9 million, which that's going to come down considerably based on the extension. One of the motivations to do the extension for Deion was to bring that salary cap number down for this season. So once that comes in, we'll probably have a little bit better of an idea. But right now, SpotTrack shows the Bills are at about $1 million in cap space, a little bit under $1 million in cap space, but that's without all of those deals and potentially the Dawkins, the number coming down this year. Here's another thing, Ryan. The Colts just did an extension, new contract for Kenny Moore. Their slot corner comes in at 3 years, $30 million. That's the kind of numbers we're looking at if the Bills want to get after it with Taron Johnson here. With an extension, which I think he rightfully deserves and makes sense from a cap perspective.
Yeah. Offer him 3 years, $30.1 million, make him the highest paid nickel in the league. We've seen that happen before where a guy gets paid and then they quickly get beaten out by the next deal that's out there. Bills can do that. Taron Johnson's worth every penny. Outstanding player, lower the cap, free up some money in that regard too. So that would be a move that I think the Bills would be on board with. And again, I wouldn't be shocked if it's something in their plans.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's get into a little bit more into the safety situation. We're talking about, you know, Cam Lewis on the roster, Taylor Rapp on the roster, where the Bills can go from here. What do you think? I mean, we talked a little bit about the draft ideology and how you would have the Bills kind of go into this draft and attack the position. I want to dive into that a little bit more only because I'm not opposed to a top 60 pick at safety. If it's somebody that you think can come in and have, especially in your scheme, like a Kyle Hamilton-esque role. So do you feel like the way that you're thinking about the top of this safety class, you don't know if there's anybody of that caliber and that's affecting the way that you're viewing the position in the draft, or is that just an overarching, no matter the talent in the draft, how you view the position going into, you know, the end of April?
I think that there's two or three safeties that you could make a case for. And, you know, I had a commenter in here say the Bills don't have a third. They have the capital to move into the third is what I was getting at when I said they could probably get a guy in the third round that could still come in and start. I just look at the needs of the Bills and I say, okay, are they going to go wide receiver round one? With the amount of money some of these receivers are getting in free agency, they might be forced to. But then you still have needs at the edge position. You still have some other needs on this team. Is safety the most pressing? It might be. And if so, then Cam Kitchens makes a ton of sense. We've seen the importance of the safety position in Sean McDermott's defense over the years with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. So if McDermott and company feel like a Cam Kitchens or a Bullard or any of them are of that tier of that class and you can bring them in and it's going to help shore up the back end of this defense, then by all means. But I also look at some of the defensive tackles that are going to potentially be available or edge rushers. They're going to be available. And I could see the Bills needing or looking at both of those as needs too. And are you going to get better value on them there? Or are you going to get better value on a safety in round three versus round two? And those are just a lot of the things that this team has to weigh and decide upon. But I'm not ruling out safety in round two. I just also think, though, that there is something where we've seen safeties, the best safeties in the draft class, kind of dropping the past few years, Brian Branch being the latest, into round two. So wouldn't shock me if one of those big names that we just mentioned, where they're late in round two, where they're early in round three, and the Bills might want to swoop in then and make a move and use their round two pick on something up front on that defensive line, especially maybe D tackle.
Let's move things to the offensive line. Talk a little bit about Deion Dawkins' extension. And by extension, I mean new contract, which absolutely, I think actually is more than I would have anticipated on the deal. Like, I thought he was going to get big money coming off the season that he had, but the deal that he signed, 3 for 60-ish, puts him at, I think, the number 4 highest paid tackle in AAV in the NFL. That's big time money. And listen, deservedly so. I think he's found a perfect fit with new offensive coordinator Aaron Kromer.
Yeah.
Across the line, though, now, what do you think this means for, okay, you have Deion Dawkins in place. He's set at left tackle. Spencer Brown seems to be their right tackle of the future. It seems like they have their guards in place. They're moving Connor McGovern over. Center is taken care of. How do you think this impacts the draft and if the Bills are even looking to add at that position? They have a ton of offensive linemen coming back next year. You know, guys that we're not even really thinking a lot about, the Alec Andersons of the world, the Ryan Vandermarks. Oh, by the way, Tommy Doyle will be back, who played some guard for them last year, can play on the outside to tackle. They're all of a sudden like plush with talent on their offensive line.
Garage was a favorite of the Bills too in the preseason, spent the entire year on the practice squad. We've seen the development of some of these younger guys there. They have a ton of young pieces. So I don't think offensive line is necessarily a priority in the draft. That doesn't mean that the Bills wouldn't go out and address the position if someone fell into their lap. Brandon Bean does seem to be like the type of GM that truly does take the best player on their board. They're always looking toward the future, not just the now. And if they feel like, hey, this guy can be a cornerstone right tackle. And, you know, I'm not saying that there should still be questions about Spencer Brown. He was outstanding this past season, but there's been some injury issues with him. There's been some concerns there. Can he hold up? So I don't think it's a priority. Wouldn't shock me if the Bills used a mid-rounder on an O-lineman, but you're right. There is a lot of talent on this team at the offensive line position. I'm just laughing because I do see some people in the comments mentioning we just signed Nicholas Morrow. Yeah, we've talked about it. We've addressed it. Thank you, B. Sully. You'll have to go back and check it out on here. But yeah, so offensive line, I think that is one position where there's more set now than they've been in years. It feels like every year the Bills bring in bodies, bring in guys to compete for depth roles. They don't really need to do much of that this year based on the amount of talent they already have at the across the board from tackle to tackle.
The other piece of the puzzle that I don't think is fully known yet for the salary cap. We talk about Deion Dawkins, new deal. That's going to bring what was currently going into the season a $16 million cap hit. That is going to bring that down, I would imagine, considerably, probably lower than 10. I think the new deal, Mike Gennetti from SpotTrack, he laid out on one of our early free agency preview shows, was adding about $5 million in cap space. Mm-hmm. So put that into the mix. Then you have Dawson Knox, who's on the books right now for 14.3. The details of his reworked deal, that was the way that it was put in the report, they're not out yet, Ryan. So is a reworked deal for Dawson Knox, is he taking less money a la Von Miller? Is it a restructured deal where they're pushing money down the line? Until we learn the more specifics about that contract, we're kind of left in the dark in terms of what that could mean for the Bills salary cap situation right here.
Yeah. And you know, when I do hear reworked, I almost wonder if he is taking a little bit of a pay cut, knowing that the Bills kind of found their tight end one in Dalton Kincaid in the draft with the way that he played, with what we saw from him as a rookie. And now Knox is more of that tight end two, that blocking tight end who very good in that role, but hasn't necessarily played up to that contract. So maybe it was a, hey, we want you in the fold here. We want you on this team, but we can't do it at the amount of money that we signed you to this extension at. And, you know, right now that doesn't look like the greatest extension that the Bills have ever given out to a player. Knox, I think a lot of his trajectory was based on his athleticism, what he's been able to do in this league, some of the red zone touchdowns that he had over the years. Last year was a big step back for him when he was healthy. Obviously, he was banged up, missed some time there too. But it's just one of those things where, like you said, Matt, we are not going to know everything about the Bills salary cap until we get the numbers on that. Is it a pay cut? Is it something where it's restructured? Same thing with these other deals. So, you know, you can use SpotTrack and these other sites for the time being. There is the best of a resource as we have, but until those other deals get plugged in and we know the exact amounts, we're not really sure what the Bills are working with. They still have 10 million plus that they will get in on June 2nd when that Trey White deal hits, and that can go toward the draft class, a good chunk of it. So they have some money to work with there, but they obviously still want to have some more for the free agent class as well.
All right. A little bit of chaos over here. Kids are upstairs doing a little bit of nonsense. So they had to take care of that real quick. How does that feel when I put you solo on the screen there? Is it like, oh my goodness, where are we going? And then you see me run off screen.
Right. Hello.
How'd that go?
You know, I feel like maybe I should slow down when I'm talking a little bit, really enunciate every word, make sure that by the time I'm done rambling, you're back on the screen. Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of a, I don't know, it makes me think, it makes me really want to keep going on and talking about whatever the topic is, in this case, Dawson Knox and his current deals. So it's always interesting to say the least.
Here's the thing. It should tell you a lot about what I think of you, that I am at the place in our relationship where I can leave the screen and not only leave the screen, but leave the entire episode and leave you solo going, knowing that probably the production value and the entertainment quality has gone up a notch now that I'm off the screen. So that's what I think of you, Ryan Talbot, my best bud and podcast co-partner.
Well, thank you very much. And we have another podcast coming up. Well, at least one more coming up here in the near future on Saturday, Matt.
Dude, we are going big on Saturday night. And because of the vacation and the sickness, all this craziness, I have not been nearly as aggressive as usual in promoting this. But I really hope that you guys have all marked off this Saturday, March 16th, when Ryan and I come back to Wingnuts 1402 Millersport Highway in Amherst, New York, the site of the brand new Wingnuts. We are going to get after it in a big way. It's going to be our full week one free agency recap. We got some fun plans for some shows over the next couple of months. We're headed on April 3rd. It is a Wednesday night. We are headed to Two Knives inside the Whirly Golf Dome. We cannot wait for that show. It's our first appearance ever there, and we're really hoping all of the Shout faithful can come out in droves and really support that first big event at the Whirly Golf Dome. We're so excited about that one.
Yeah, looking forward to both shows quite a bit. The latter falling on our spring break, so going to make a day of it up there and check out the Whirly Golf Dome. Check us out at the show. Make sure you stay before and after. We're going to have a great time.
Speaking of like making a day out of it, one fun activity, that an idea that I had for you when you're in town for the day, and the one day, I think you put it out to the insiders, which I want to talk about in a second really quickly here, that you were going to be in town and you were going to pick up a piece of art or something like that. Well, you have it in your backdrop now, right?
Not yet. It needs to be hung up. The frame that we have it on, it won't stand up on its own. So yeah, it was a Shout sign that was at the Buffalo store. And right. Really, you know, it was just a good coincidence. Every game they made a different poster, and this one was just literally said Shout in big letters. So thought it was a perfect fit for the backdrop here. Eventually, when I do some remodeling, it's going to be tough to move the Threat Level Midnight poster. That's a staple, but that might have to be the next thing to go. And, you know, we have the awards here. We don't ever want to move those. Hopefully can add to them and continue adding to them, but yeah, Threat Level Midnight might have to get the boot here pretty soon.
So that's what I think my idea is. Like, you could put out a message, like with two or three places that you and the fam are going to be. And then we could play like, you know, the book when we were kids called Where's Waldo.
Yeah.
We play the game like Where's Talbot?
Where's Talbot?
And like, we can send Bills fans on all these places across Buffalo and they can figure out where Talbot is and have their own interesting experiences with you for the day. Make a day of it, right? It's spring break.
I love it. And I think I'm actually going to make a day of it on Saturday too for Wingnuts. I think the kids both have dentist appointments in the morning up in Buffalo. So we're going to be up in Buffalo all day long. It's going to be a good day.
All right. Also, there is some feedback in the comments from J-Dub. The Threat Level Midnight is the reason he tuned in the first place. So don't move the poster. So you're gonna have to, you have to make it work. You have to keep the threat level midnight in there.
Oh boy. Yeah, I'm gonna have to move some things around. I'll figure it out though for sure.
So speaking of the insider text line, you can become an insider right now. Gives you access to Ryan Talbot, Matt Perino, 24/7, 365. You have a question, you have a comment, you want all of our instant analysis, like everything you see us put out on social media. That is absolutely nothing compared to the deep dives that we take in the insider text line. And you can get a 2-week free peek at it right now by texting 716-528-6727. That's 716-528-6727. And the text line all year long is brought to you by Carrie C. Byer, attorney with the law offices of Francis M. Litra, located at 237 Main Street, Buffalo, New York. If you or someone you know is seriously injured, give him a call, 716-852-1234, or check out litralaw.com. Carrie has been an awesome sponsor of the program over the last 6 or 7 months. He signed up for the entire year. They're doing great work over at the Litra Law Firm. If you or anyone you know is seriously injured, please give him a call. Tell him the Shout Boys sent you. That 716-852-1234 or litralaw.com. All right, Ryan, where do we go next?
Yeah, maybe we go next to who's still out there. Who are some targets for the Bills? We saw one wide receiver go off the board today, Darnell Mooney, who signed a deal, at least on paper, that looked very similar to the Gabe Davis deal, which, you know, the Gabe Davis deal, the actual numbers came out today, and they were very misleading with the initial 339 type deal. But it kind of goes to show you that there are some teams spending decent money on receiver, and maybe the Bills aren't going to be in on that upper class of receiver in free agency. Who are some other players that could still be out there?
Got a comment here from my dad, Alan. Why? What are you doing, Al? It's 4:39. The workday is not over yet. I know you retire in a couple of months, but get back to work, please. Okay. He said that 2 free weeks is still driving Uncle Tony crazy. And you want to know a little story about that, Ryan? So my Uncle Tony, when this started, he signs up from the very beginning to be an insider. He's still on the text line. But he never got the free trial. He just signed up right from the jump. And so now every time I mention that on the podcast, he texts my dad and he's like, what the heck? He's like, I never got a 2-week free trial. I've been his uncle for 41 years. I never got a free trial. Uncle Tony, not happy about it. We got to get him on one of these pods coming up. It's, you know, it's tough at the family get-togethers these days.
Yeah, you might have to like text him first, just personally, then text the Shout Insiders and then say, here, this is your 2-week free trial. You're getting it a few seconds before the insiders. And then after 2 weeks, you can come back over into the general chat of the insiders.
That's definitely might be the play. All right, on the receivers real quick. So Darnell Mooney, when I first put out, remember we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I put out a list of receivers in the insider text line that I was interested in. And
met with
it did not go over very well. It did not go over very well. One of those that wasn't on there who we talked about was Darnell Mooney. And the reason I didn't have him on there was exactly what transpired today. And this was why. I thought he was going to accept the get the kind of contract that the Bills just weren't able to swim in those waters. I mean, three for 39 at this stage, even if that cap hit comes in at like $9 million, is too much for what the Bills are doing. And that's another reason why Gabe Davis isn't back with the Bills. I think if you could have brought that number down to somewhere around 7, I think the Bills might have really thought about like bringing him back on a 3-year deal because of the stability that he would give them. And I know that some Bills fans were ready to move on, but I don't necessarily get that sense from inside the building. But at that number, I felt like the Bills were always going to be out. I thought after conversations at the combine, Mooney's market might not be as robust. That turned out not to be the case. And now as we kind of shift gears here, look at some of the top, there's three names that I think come to the top of the list, right? Curtis Samuel makes a lot of sense. The Joe Brady connection, the Brandon Bean drafted him in Carolina connection. Sure, all those things. I still think his market might be a little bit higher than what the Bills can end up paying. We'll see. The other name you wrote about in your 3 free agents to watch, DJ Chark. Listen, we liked that. We liked him last year. We thought he could be somebody on a 1-year deal. If you can get that number down to like $5 million, that becomes really interesting for a potential wide receiver three this season. And then the third guy for me, and it's a bit of a flyer, and the money's going to have to be right. And Bills fans hated this in the insider text line because they're done with the Odell Beckham saga. Right. Like there was too much invested last go around. I still think 2 years removed from that injury, you're going to get more of this, the Los Angeles Rams version of Beckham Jr. as opposed to what we saw last year in Baltimore, who, by the way, I thought at times, glimpses late in the season, that was the OBJ that you would have been getting last year. I don't know what the market for him is. And maybe he hangs out there and he dangles out there again. And maybe then it's when you really dive into that conversation, be like, okay, maybe we could do a 2-year deal, keep the first year cap hit kind of low, the second year a little bit higher, and just bank on the fact that he is an upgrade at wide receiver too. But then you have to ask yourself the question, do you want two wide receivers at or around 30 years old? And is that going to affect at all your ability to draft a wide receiver? I say it shouldn't, but I think at the same time it could, and maybe that would take me out of the running for pursuing OBJ.
Yeah, you know, Curtis Samuel, first and foremost, I think that you're right. I think that he's the next guy, the next domino that could fall. I could see the Chiefs being in on him, they were supposedly in on Mooney. There was a report last night that they were one of the teams interested in him. So Samuel makes a lot of sense. What's that?
The Bills?
No, the Chiefs. I feel like the Chiefs being in on Curtis Samuel for the very reason in terms of being a good fit for them too, and maybe having a little bit more flexibility, where the Bills, they might not, again, be able to swim in those waters. DJ Chark, I believe it was like a 1-year, $5 million guaranteed deal last season. So at that price, I know there's some drops. I know there's some injury concerns. He can still stretch the field. He can still help this offense be closer to a wide receiver too than some of the other names that were potentially on the market that the Bills could pursue. And then if they miss out on that class or the Odell Beckham Jr., you know, maybe you start looking at who are some other good pieces that can come in with upside, where you're going to draft a wide receiver at pick 28. You're going to go in round one. You're going to get your wide receiver two there. But a Josh Reynolds, who had showed some upside with the Lions, or maybe a KJ Osborne, who's done some really nice things with the Minnesota Vikings. And that does not answer your wide receiver two questions, but it gives you stronger depth at wide receiver. It allows you to then draft that guy in round one, where then you have Stephon Diggs, your draft pick, you have Khalil Shakir. And then if you have like a Josh Reynolds or a KJ Osborne as wide receiver four, that's a good problem to have. Those are talented guys. So the Bills might have to shift gears in terms of the market at receiver. There's more money going out than, again, I anticipated. That first day, there was only two receivers during the legal tampering period that agreed to terms, one being Gabe Davis. And today, though, we've seen Mooney get a big deal, and I'm sure there's still some money out there for some of these other guys. Noah Brown re-signed today with the Texans. So they've had some guys kind of come off the board, and they might have to shift gears in terms of their thinking of what they want at the position.
Ton of people watching here on this Tuesday early evening. Thank you so much. We'll have multiple episodes this week. We'll probably have at least one more during the week, and then our big show at Wingnuts this weekend. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. Smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel as well. Hit that little little bell there. Give yourself notifications. That way every time we go live, you know about it. Anything else you want to get to before we get out of here?
No, nothing else off the top of my head. Just looking at this list, I still think there's some Bills that could come back into the fold. Ty Johnson wouldn't surprise me on a cheap deal, especially after Nyheim Hines signed today with the Cleveland Browns. I think the Bills just want some stability there, some depth there. If they don't go with Ty Johnson, there's some other short yardage backs out there that I think could be sitting on the market for a little while. A.J. Dillon, Zeke Elliott, stuff like that. But I also think that they could address that too later in the draft based on the way that money was thrown around at some of these free agents at the position. It feels like the running back class is not going to be high priority in the 2024 draft.
Yeah, I think Ty Johnson is borderline a priority. Like I put him, I think it was number three on my offseason priority list behind Daquan Jones one, David Edwards too. And I think I made the argument that those were the only three guys that I think the Bills like had to bring back. And so I wouldn't be surprised if some type of deal gets worked out there. I think the bulk of running backs on the market help the Bills because there's all these guys signing contracts and teams are spending big money. I mean, we're living in a world, Ryan, where the Cincinnati Bengals What was the final number that Zach Moss get? Did he get 2 for
something 12? Like 8? No, I thought it was closer to 2 for 8. 8? Thought, yeah, somewhere in the 8.
Bring this up. I don't want to get wrong. On but even still, whatever it ends up being, just think about where Zach Moss was here a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So where he is now, getting a deal, 2 years, $8 million. You're right on that. Then you have Devin Singletary going back to play with Brian Daboll in New York. He gets a deal, ends up being, I believe it was 3 for 15.
I think you're pretty close to on par for that one.
I'm bringing up that deal right now. I don't want to get anything wrong, Ryan. I'm in the business of fact checking, making sure that we don't give anybody false information. And of course I'm searching this thing and it's not coming up anywhere. 3 years, $16.5 million deal worth up to $19.5 for Devin Motor Singletary. Yeah. I don't know, Ryan. I don't love that deal, man. I don't love that deal. And I know this is the off season of paying the running back. I mean, all these guys are getting absolutely paid. I don't get it. I don't get the Josh Jacobs move for the Packers. And Packers, I get it.
Yeah. If
Aaron Jones didn't want to take a pay cut, I don't get the, what was it for Derrick Henry? Like, everybody's acting like Derrick Henry somehow solves all of the issues for the Ravens. I thought they got worse. Losing Patrick Queen and adding Derrick Henry does not like tip the scales for me. Like, I think Queen leaving is a huge problem for that defense. And then you have Derrick Henry, who I don't think is that much of an upswing, with Odell Beckham Jr. set to be a free agent and probably not likely to return. Rashad Bateman, who's been kind of a meh. And then of course you have Zay Flowers. He's a nice young piece, but I think they need to be adding weapons in the passing game.
Yeah. And you know, it'll be fun to watch him in that Ravens offense. The way that he still showed late in the season, he still had that burst, still had that zip, but is it going to get them over the hump? I don't necessarily think it is. You still need more weapons for Lamar Jackson, like you said. And you know, Jackson, he's had some success in the postseason now. He's won a few games, but it's still, though, when push comes to shove and you need him in a shootout, they have not been able to score a lot of points. And if you're going against a high-powered team, whether it's the Chiefs, whether it's the Bills, whether it's you know, a team that they beat this past season, but I could see them being a real threat here in the near future, and like a team like the Texans, when you need to go punch for punch with those teams, you're not going to be able to hand it off to Henry over and over again. So you're right. There's still some issues there. I don't necessarily think that this is going to be that game changer that some expect.
Couple things real quick before we get out of here. A lot of comments about Nicholas Morrow in the chat. We cover this quite a bit earlier in the show, so just rewind to, I think, about the 15-minute mark, somewhere around there is when we hit on that. If a big move happens the rest of the day today, and as long as Ryan's not in bed, because he's been a little bit under the weather as well, we will get this thing dialed back up and we will do an emergency pod if there's any kind of big signing. So don't worry about that. We just felt like we wanted to kind of get in here, get you the bulk of what's already happened, and then we'll kind of circle back here. Don't forget, become an insider. Details in the description. Wingnuts this Saturday, 6 p.m., 1402 Millersport Highway. We can't wait to see all of you out there. We'll be right back, probably later tonight, tomorrow. We'll see you soon. Take care, everybody.